Okay. Well, once again, this morning we're going to be celebrating the July 4th birthday of the United States. What a wonderful country this is. And it's going to be doing that on the 4th of July. That's the day we celebrate our independence of our country. And what a great nation we are. Because of God's, it was all because of God's desire for men to be free. Men fought a war to be free from the bondage of England, to be free to worship as we wish without government interference. The majority did not understand that God fought with us to develop this country and stood for the principles that were set forth in His Word. A country that He could make great. He could make great in order that we might fight for the freedom of others and be a shining example of God's love for a people that would make Him their God. A nation that would spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, spread the gospel of His only begotten Son, spreading the news of the free gift of salvation. A nation that He would bless above any nation that He ever has in the world, except for Israel. Psalm 33:1-12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." You see, we are that nation today. We are the United States of America. Now this morning I would like to spend a little bit of time on the subject of God's existence and His promise of freedom for a nation that would worship Him, and for those of us in the country, in this country, that put their trust in God as their Lord and Savior. Turn with me, if you will, to our text this morning. It's going to be Psalm 19. We're going to be looking at 1 through 14. Sorry about that, 1 through 8. Psalm 19, 1 through 8. So if you're at Psalm chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and the night unto night it showeth a knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line is gone out throughout all the world, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He's going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from him, nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Let's pray. Father, we do thank You today, Lord, for this great country. We thank You basically, Lord, for the most part, Lord, for You being with us, Lord, and that You were here when it was founded, and Lord, You led our founding fathers to write the Constitution, which is under attack today, and You're under attack, and Lord, we're just asked today that folks would come back and understand that this country was based on Your word. And Lord, we pray today for Daryl Mason and Art Wright, who's in the nursing home today, that You just be with them. Play a special blessing for those that are here this morning, and a special blessing for our country and its leaders this morning. I pray that You bless the message and the messenger now. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and we'll give You the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name. For His sake. Amen. Now, you know, this freedom that our country claims today was paid for by the blood of not only Jesus Christ, but the blood of many, many, many thousands and thousands of people willing to fight for freedom. Because Satan is always there. Freedom never comes free, because Satan is always there fighting freedom, trying to take freedom away from people. He's been doing this since the day in the Garden of Eden, when he beguiled Eve and caused Adam to sin. You see, this was a very grave time in mankind's history, because our freedom to worship God Our freedom, the fellowship with God face to face, came to an end with the sin of Adam. It was on that day and that hour when the first sin was committed, God enlarged hell that day. Up to that point, hell was simply for Satan and his angels. In Isaiah 5:14, he tells us, "Therefore hell hath enlarged itself, and opened her mouth without measure and glory, and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it." You see, man was no longer free at that point. He was in bondage to sin. He was in bondage. He was under the control of Satan. The payment for our freedom from sin and the flames of hell had to be a perfect sacrifice. There was no way that the sins could be paid for without a perfect sacrifice. Christ shed that precious blood on that old rugged cross for those sins, making it possible for anyone, absolutely anyone, that will accept him as their Savior, total freedom from the slavery of sin. Now, this is true freedom, folks. This is true freedom that can never be lost. It's a freedom that is guaranteed. If you look at Romans 8:2, look at Romans 8:2, and we'll see God telling us. He tells us from his word. This is from the mouth of God, the inspired word of God. In Romans 8, he tells us, "For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You see, we are free. We have no payments to make. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will not be judged for our sins. Our sins was paid for some 2,000 years ago on that cross. We will stand in judgment of what we have done and what we're going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. If you're here this morning and know Christ as your personal Savior, you too can lay claim to this freedom. You can lay claim to the freedom that Jesus Christ paid for with his life. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." You see, there's no going back from that. Once we're free, we'll never go under bondage again, because God will not let us go. Yet the battle goes on for men to accept this gift of freedom. It's a raging battle that's being fought in the spiritual world for the souls of men. It has been fought since the sin of Adam. This battle is being fought every hour, every second of the day for the eternal lives of men from the flames of hell. Yet very few people, we all know the Bible is clear, that very few people will find this freedom. And that's because they're unwilling to give up what they feel is the most important thing in their life. One day when they stand before the Almighty God, they will understand what was really important. What's really important is the choice that you make today. The choice that you make to accept Christ. Like I say, there are very few who's going to get there, because of Matthew 7:14 says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, life being the kingdom of God, and few there be that find it." How sad that must make Jesus, remembering the time when his beard was plucked from his face, the time when they slapped him in the face, the time that they beat him, then finally being nailed to the cross, nailed to a cruel cross, being left there to suffocate. And he did that for absolutely everyone, except the problem is the majority won't accept it. As a nation today, the United States, like all nations before, have gone before us, are quickly becoming like them. A vile, immoral society that God has done away with in the past. Roman Empire, it rotted from the inside out. It rotted morally. And when a country rots morally, God walks away. At least today, unlike 2 years ago, we have a president that's recognizing God as a protector of this country. And as our leader, our last president made an announcement that all made me sick, said, we're no longer a Christian country. I don't know how he made it through that. But he divided the country because of his satanic liberal followers, many of which actually hate this country today.
Amen.
And are willing to do anything to bring it down.
Right.
Praise the Lord, we as Christians today, we have the opportunity this coming November. Opportunity to get another conservative Supreme Court justice. That will give us a 5-4 majority, which will go a long way, my friend, in bringing this country back to at least some resemblance of what it used to be and how God led our founding fathers when writing this Constitution and building this great country. You see, our country, our Constitution began with a preamble reading such, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish judges, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to do ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of America. Now I want to draw your attention to the first few words. We the people. Now, folks, that's you and me. We the people. We are the people of the United States, and we have a chance to be heard as Christians get out. And they have to get out this year. They have to get out and vote this November. Because if we don't, and we allow the liberals to take a hold of our Congress and our Senate again, probably be the last chance we have. Folks, we the people need to get out. And I'm asking everyone listening to this message this morning, whether you're here or you're listening on the internet, that you simply can't sit at home this November and say it's too hard for me to get out. If you can't get out, there's absentee ballots available. And I, for one, will make sure you get one if you need one. Some might say this is too political of a message. Well, that's not its intent, my friends. This is about allowing the Almighty God back into our country. If we can get this Supreme Court justice, if we can get this guy, whoever he might be, a conservative, we can swing this country back into what God wanted it to be, and I believe God will be back. And that, my friend, as we the people, it is our responsibility. Because I know God wants to come back. God has ordained this country and has provided for each America to have a say in how it's run. If you do not do your part and vote this November and every November election, then, my friend, you are taking a part of the destruction of these United States. Trust me, that's a fact. Because a non-vote is a vote for Satan and his hard-left progressives to take down this country just like he took down many, many others over the years. Now, God's blessed this country and he continues to bless it because we still have God-fearing Christians fighting for the freedom of the souls of men. Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We still are one nation under God, no matter how hard they fight to get that out. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Part of the reason God's still with us is the fact that we still have a lot of mission-minded folks in the churches all over this country that are faithful in supporting missions, getting missionaries out on the field to spread the word of Jesus Christ. Take this church, for example, Emmanuel Baptist Temple. I will have to say, I've been in many, many churches in my life. I have never been in one that has more missionaries for the amount of people that belong to this church. I have never been in a church in this situation. I'm proud to be a part of Emmanuel Baptist Church and their mission group. Because that's how this country was founded, spreading the word of Jesus Christ. It's time men believe that God created the heaven and the earth. Our very first president, George Washington, was a godly man that kept a prayer journal. And if we look at some of his entries, we can in a small way compare him and his love for God. Now, catch this, to that of David, who was the author of our text this morning. I want you to listen very closely to what George Washington has prayed. It says, O most glorious God, in Jesus Christ, my merciful, loving Father, I acknowledge and confess my guilt in the weak and imperfect performance of the duties of this day. Does that not sound like David? Another entry reads, God, I yield thee humble and hearty thanks that thou hast preserved me from danger of the night past and brought me into the light of day and the comforts thereof, a day which is consecrated to thine own service and for thine own honor. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so affected with the glory of the majesty of it, that I might do my own works, not do my own works, but wait on thee and discharge those weighty duties that thou requirest of me. I mean, if you didn't know George Washington wrote that, it could be in the Psalms. It could be in the Psalms. But during the beginning of our country, leaders like George Washington recognized the Creator. Just as David wrote in Psalm 19 of our text this morning, verse 1, it says, The heaven declare the glories of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Now in the next three verses, he shows us the Trinity. He shows us the whole Godhead. Psalm 19, verse 2 through 4. Day unto day uttereth the speech, and the night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now listen to what that said. I'm going to read that again. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now let me tell you, folks are saying, well, what about these countries? What about these countries that don't have a Bible? They have God with them. They have God there in nature. It says that day unto day uttereth speech, the night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Who is he talking about? The day and the night and the nature. It says their line has gone out through all the world. Whose line? The God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son. Now this Trinity that we're talking about here, there are churches today that don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. And that's because they got a book written by man. You need to get the real book written by God, the Spirit of God. You got to get the real book that's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And you will find in John 5:7, For there are three that bear record in the heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now, if you look at the popular book and some of the books that are out there, that they want to call a Bible. Personally, I refer to them as a non-inspired version. And you will find it to simply say in John 5:7, there are three that testify. Who testifies? It says there's three that testify, but they don't go on to tell you that it's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So how are they to know when they don't have it in their book? They need to get the right book. In the next verse, we see David telling about Christ. Look at Psalm 19, verse 5. It says, Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run the race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Talking about the sun now. Now, many places in the Bible, Jesus Christ is referred to as a bridegroom. Here he's talking about the Son, but here, Jesus is referred to also as the bridegroom. For example, John the Baptist called him a bridegroom when he recognized him as Christ. Saw him by the side of the river, and all of a sudden, he called him, referred to him as a bridegroom. Look with me, if you will, to John 3, 28 and 29. Because he had all kinds of people wanting to tell him that they thought he was a Christ. But John knew better. John knew he was not there. He was just there to show the way. He was there to straighten the path. Look at verse 28 of John 3. It says, "Ye yourself bear witness of me that I said I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him." Verse 29, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice, this is my joy thereof fulfilled." So you have to understand, you see, our founding fathers believed every word of this. And basically, that they didn't have any of these books back then. They just had the Word of God. I mean, it was over the years that Satan has tried to take away from the Word of God. And he's being successful. You go into a book, go over to the bookstore in Mansfield and try to find a King James Bible. You say, where are the King? Oh, they're down here on the last shelf. We got a couple of them. But you probably want the New Revised Version. I want the Bible. And none of these books here you got are the Bible. Down there is the Bible. But anyhow, and I try not to get upset, but I do get upset with that. But anyhow, if we take a look at a quote from our fourth president of the United States, James Madison, he says, "The belief in God is all-powerful, wise and good is essential." Listen to this. "Wise and good is essential to the moral order of the world and the happiness of man." You see, the belief in God, he says, it's essential to the moral order of the world. Look at our morality today. They don't read the one about where fornication is a sin. They don't read about sodomites. They don't read how God hates that. Yet here in the United States, we have fallen away to the point that our children are not allowed to pray in school. Parents' fault, my friends. Parents' fault. Parents need to raise your children in church. They need to be taught from the time we get up in the morning till the time we go to bed that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Without him, you're lost and headed for hell. So many people, so many parents are going to be sending their children straight to the fires of hell. They themselves could be saved because mom and dad might have been taking them to church, but those that are not explaining this to their kids, chances are very good. They're going to spend eternity in the fires of hell unless somebody gets with them. They're not allowed to pray in public schools. Public buildings can't display anything that would reflect God. There again, my friends, we can make a change in that. We can make a change in that. You, the people, we, the people, can make a change. Can you imagine what our forefathers would think of what's going on in the United States today? Let's just take a quote from Ben Franklin, an inventor. He held many, many offices in the government. Now, I know I've quoted this before, but this is one of my favorites. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings," not books now, not the books that somebody else wrote, "in the sacred writings, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." You see, they knew it. And I'm not saying that these guys were perfect. Some of these guys were some strange characters. But they understood. They understood what it was. Maybe they didn't do everything perfect. I've heard people come back and say, well, Benjamin Franklin did this, he did that, George Washington did this, he did that, he was a slave owner. I don't care. What was in his heart is what mattered. You see, we need to follow the Word of God in everything from a spiritual establishment of our families, the establishment of our churches, and our country remains a cold, hard fact that many are losing the battle and falling away spiritually. And the Bible tells us if we continue to do that, if we continue to fall away as a country and as families, we will never survive as a country. This is a promise. This isn't just something we can sit back and say, well, somebody else will take care of it. No, somebody else ain't going to take care of it. That's up to you and I, we the people. It said the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. We have come very close to forgetting God in this country. Except for churches like this and folks like you all over the country. Then again, he says in Psalm 50:22, now consider this. Here's God telling us. Can you just look at him tapping you on the shoulder and say, now consider this, my friend. That you forget God, that ye forget God, lest I tear you to pieces and there be none to deliver. Now we as a country need to begin to pull together. You and I as Christians and conservatives, we need to stand together, speak up. Because you know the progressives, these liberals, and most of them are just going further and further left all the time. And I tell you what, we need to be coming further and further to the right. We need to be coming further and further into the Word of God and to follow His leading. We got to get back to pulling together. Now as we look at the last part of our text for this morning, we see, starting in verse 7, David's showing us four different attributes of God. Let's start in Psalm 19, verse 7, and look at some of these attributes. Verse 7 of Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. When you open the Word of God, every word in here is absolutely perfect. Every word is in here is meant for you and I to learn from. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. See, the Bible's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, a lot of these folks, with all this money and all this worldly wisdom, they're really the simple ones in the world. They call us simple, basket of deplorables and stupid, and they got all kinds of names for us. But let me tell you what. Us deplorables are pretty wise in the eyes of God. So you see, the first attribute, and we believe it here, is the law of the Lord is perfect. And we can't change it. And if you and I were to follow each and every principle and commandment that's given to you and I in the Word of God, we could be perfect. Of course, you know and I know that we can't do that because we still have our old sin nature. Christ has been the only one that's ever been able to do that. Second attribute is the ability of the Word of God to convict you to conversion. It says converting the soul. That means allowing Christ to come into your heart, making you a new creature, being baptized by the Holy Spirit. That means the indwelling Spirit coming into you. That's not talking about the baptismal waters. That's talking about being baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, being baptized by Christ as He enters into our body. That's the baptism of salvation. Romans 10:9, it's available to anyone, folks. It says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, just believe in the Lord Jesus. You can't see Him, you can't touch Him, you just have to have faith. We're going to be dealing with faith tonight in the message tonight. Romans 10:9, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? You need to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. That's for eternity. The third attribute is the testimony of the Lord is sure. The word testimony simply seems a solemn declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving a fact. That's the testimony of God. His words are without exception unchangeable. I don't care how much they want to change the Bible so they can make money. I don't care how many words they take out, how many words they add. As we used to say back in the big city of Laudanville, it ain't going to make a difference, folks. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The words right here will never pass away. I don't care what man wants to do with it. I don't care if man wants to rewrite the whole thing. Hebrews 13:8. Says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trust me. Folks can do what they want to do. Satan can lead them to do anything he wants them to do. Because if they don't know Christ as their personal Savior, then Satan's their God. Satan's their leader. You and I have a responsibility also to help these folks understand that we need to make Jesus the leader of your life. We need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Because no matter what you all think, it makes no difference. It's only what God thinks that matters. Only what God says. In the end, folks, in the end, that's the bottom line. Solomon says, the bottom line is to fear God, keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of God, all duty of man. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today, Lord. We thank you so much for this.